Well, today we'll plan to finish up Luke chapter 21, and we just have five verses left, verses 34 to 38. So Luke 21, verse 34. Now, Jesus is finishing up this conversation that he's having with his apostles as they are on the Mount of Olives after they have left the temple, after Jesus has left the temple for the last time and gone out of town to the Mount of Olives. And these are the last words that he is telling them. And this is all having to do with the end of time. So he's talking to us today. He's been talking to every generation. And he will still be talking. This paragraph here will be to every generation till the end of time. Okay, so verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. Now this goes hand in hand with the parable of the unjust servant or the wicked servant that Jesus also told in this same time frame. Luke did not record it, but Matthew did. And so I feel like this is an addendum to that parable that he gave. And Luke just left out the parable. But that was, here you had this servant who was working in God's kingdom. But he said, well, it's been such a long time since the Messiah has returned, so that must mean that he's not going to return at all. And so then he turns on his fellow servants, and he stops working in God's kingdom and starts abusing his fellow servants over here. And so this is an addendum to this, that everyone must watch, and then I think hand in hand goes with this is don't backslide, because Jesus is obviously talking about Christians who then leave God's kingdom, and now in the parable that he gave, it was because, well, it's been so long and the Messiah has not come. So, and then we get from 2 Peter 3, just because it's going to be such a long time, don't think that Jesus will not return, because he will fulfill his promise, and he has promised that he will return to destroy the earth and destroy all of creation. Okay, so Jesus has this, heeds this warning to every person through the end of time. And then in that day, come upon you unexpectedly. Now, carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Here now, the carousing and the drunkenness, that is explanatory in itself. People are not keeping the eye on the kingdom. Definitely, drunkenness dulls people's senses. They get distracted. There's lots and lots of things. They destroy their families, but they're not seeking the kingdom first. And so carousing and drunkenness go hand in hand. Now, Kaufman separated out this cares of this life, and which I'll read his commentary later. But he says, even the cares of this life, and I wish he had gone into more of an explanation of what that is, but none of the commentators touched on what the cares of this life is. So what I assume that this is what Jesus is talking about is the day-to-day duties, requirements of living, and don't get so caught up in the finances, in the economy that might be bad, that we don't forget about working in God's kingdom, studying God's word. So, but what Kaufman did point out is that Jesus puts the cares of this life and letting the cares of this life distract someone as the same sin as those that are out carousing and drunkenness. And so he said this is a heed of warning to every Christian here. This cares of this life will even get the people that don't go out carouse and drink. Because if we're distracted by the cares of this life, that will put us in the same circumstance as the drunken people. Okay, and then distract us, and then the day will come upon us unexpectedly. Okay, verse 35. For this day will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. So, this is obviously talking about the end of time. And every eye will see Jesus from Revelation when he returns in the clouds. And this will come as a snare on all those who are unprepared and those that did not heed Jesus' warnings from verse 34. And 36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So, what are all these things that will come to pass? Well, in his context that he's talking about, it is verses 25 through 28 specifically. Now, Peter tells us even more things that will happen. But then, as far as this escape, Jesus doesn't go into any more detail right here, but Paul does in 1 Thessalonians 4. And that we have read 2 weeks ago, so we won't cover that again. But that's this escape. If we do not get distracted, continue to work in God's kingdom, seek the kingdom first, then those that have done that will be able to escape the disaster, the judgment, the physical judgment that will come upon the unrighteous on the earth at that time, and then ultimately then escape the eternal judgment. Agony for all of eternity, ultimately after judgment day. Okay, so that is the end of what Luke gives as Jesus's conversation to the apostles about the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the earth. Okay, so now he finishes up this chapter with two verses. And Luke is telling what Jesus had done at least the three previous days, at least the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, maybe even including the Sunday. We know the Sunday, on Jesus' triumphal entry, the very first thing that he did was he went into the temple and drove out the money changers. And maybe that is included in this, but definitely this is talking about the Monday, Tuesday, and the Wednesday. And this is the Wednesday morning that Jesus is finishing up. So Luke is just telling us what Jesus had done the previous 3 or 4 days. Okay, so verse 37. And in the daytime, Jesus was watching in the temple, but at night he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Okay, so we know that he spent every night on the Mount of Olives, the mount called Olivet, which is where Jesus is right at this particular time saying to these apostles. I'll read about Kaufman a little later, but what Kaufman said is that the commentator Clark thought that Jesus had gone and stated in his commentary that Jesus had gone with the apostles every night and spent the night in Bethany with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. But that's obviously wrong, because Luke says that every night Jesus and the apostles stayed on the mountain in Mount of Olives, and that's where they slept. And the reasoning that Kaufman gives for this that is very telling is Jesus never spent one night in Jerusalem except the night that happens from this night. This Wednesday night is the only night that he ever stays in Jerusalem, which he doesn't sleep. He's going through all these the questionings and the trial over the night. But this Wednesday night, right ahead of his crucifixion, is the only night that he ever spends in Jerusalem. And he said that is very telling, because Jerusalem had become such debased and so unrighteous that it was unworthy for the Messiah to even spend a night in Jerusalem. That was the explanation. I also feel like that this was he was getting out of Jerusalem at night also, because we already know that the scribes and the Pharisees have had plans, and even the Sadducees are part in this too, had plans to assassinate Jesus, to get an assassin to catch him. They couldn't assassinate him while he was in the crowd, but get him in private. If they could have caught him in a house somewhere, sleeping in Jerusalem, they could have assassinated him. But Jesus got away. They went to the mountains and they were hidden. And they were never found to be assassinated, so Jesus could be assassinated. So that did not happen. And then it was just the arrest. In fact, they didn't even know where to find him. But Judas, the betrayer, knew where to find Jesus, and so he took the soldiers and the scribes and Pharisees and priests up there to arrest Jesus. Okay, and then verse 38. Then early in the morning, all the people came to Jesus in the temple to hear him. So this at least happened on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning. And this Wednesday morning, right after this, is what Luke did not give this account, but Matthew did. And this was the 8 woes to the scribes and the Pharisees. That's what he gave to, that was the last strong condemnation that he gave these scribes and Pharisees in public right there in the temple. And then right after that, the episode with the widow and her two mites. And then he walks out of there, and that's when this transpires about the apostles bragging about how nice this temple is. Then they go up on the mountain, and Jesus says these words here that's covered in Luke 21. Okay, and so from here, what Jesus does, he sends the apostles out to prepare for the Last Supper, which is in Jerusalem. So then they prepare for that. Then they have the Last Supper. Then they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and that's when Judas brings the scribes and the Pharisees and chief priest with the soldiers up to arrest Jesus. And then all of the apostles flee and leave Jesus. And Jesus is left there all by himself. Okay, any questions or comments on these 5 verses? What I thought we would do before we leave this chapter is now, as a overview, read the verses that pertain to the destruction of Jerusalem, and then read the verses that pertain to the destruction of the earth, the end of time. And so we can get those separated in here. So we'll start with verse 5 of Luke 21. And this will go through verse 24 at first. So Luke 21, verse 5. Then as some spoke of the temple, some of the apostles spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations. Jesus said, "These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." So then, after they get up to the mountain, they ask Jesus, saying, "Teacher, but when will these things be, and what sign will be when these things are to take place?" Okay, and here's Jesus' answer. He's answering first. These verses are about the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus said, "Take heed that you be not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them." So don't believe those false messiahs. "But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately." So you just know that they're on the way, but the temple, Jerusalem's not going to be destroyed at that time, but you know it's coming. Verse 10. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven.'" These are all things that preceded the destruction of Jerusalem. "But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up in the synagogues and prisons. They will be brought you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. It will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony," which it did, and it got recorded in the book of Acts, at least. "Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you know that its desolation is near." Okay, so all these things previously were signs that would happen to let them know the destruction is on the horizon. It's just not here. It hasn't gotten to us yet. But verse 20, Jesus says, "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you know the desolation is near." So that is the immediate sign to let you know you better take, those that are in Jerusalem better take action post haste, immediately. And then he tells them, verse 21, "Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are in the midst of Jerusalem depart, and not those who are in, and let those who are in the country not to enter her." So you don't let, as you're leaving and fleeing Jerusalem, any of these people that you see in the countryside, you tell them, "Don't go to Jerusalem. It's about to be destroyed by the Romans." Verse 22. "For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." And as we talked about when we covered this verse initially, this was the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled at the end of time. And so as a result, Jerusalem will be trampled or ruled by Gentiles until the end of time. Okay, now we're going to jump down to verse 29. This is still talking about pertaining to the destruction of Jerusalem. Verse 29. "Then Jesus spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When you are all, when they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, and what are these things? Well, it's all the things that we read previously. From verses 8 all the way down to 19. Know that the kingdom of God is near. And this is a synonym or a metaphor for God coming in judgment on Jerusalem. When you see these things that he had said. Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So, this generation will not pass away until all of these things that were covered from verses 8 to verse 19 would take place. Well, and even including that, even through 20, the destruction of Jerusalem. But the signs, this is specifically Jesus was talking about. Look at the signs. As you see the fig trees budding, then you know that the time is near. And that was what he was talking about. Be heedful and watchful of all these signs, knowing it's coming. And then you will know that it's not going to be long, that the armies will surround Jerusalem. And that's the ultimate sign to get out and warn others not to come to Jerusalem. Okay, so those are all the verses that pertain to the destruction of Jerusalem. Now let's read the verses that Jesus said that pertain to the end of time. And we'll start with verse 25. Luke 21, 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring. So this is what is going to happen at the end of time, when Jesus returns in judgment. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, what all this means and how all it's going to be, we don't know how it's going to transpire, but we know that this is what is going to happen. And it's going to make great fear in all of the earth that are living at the time when he returns. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. So, now, here is a contrast of the destruction of Jerusalem to the end of time, to the destruction of the earth. The destruction of Jerusalem, there were all kinds of warnings and signs that would take place. There's a whole list of them here that would take place to let them know. And Jesus said, these are like the fig tree budding. You know that spring is coming when you see that. And so there were warning signs to let the people know that the destruction of Jerusalem is not immediate, but it is on the horizon. It is coming, and then it's immediately when the armies surround Jerusalem. That's when you get out right then. Okay, here's the contrast. The end of time has no such prelude, no warnings, all of these things about the wars and rumors of wars, the earthquakes, the natural disasters, the famines, the diseases, those were all signs that would precede the destruction of Jerusalem. There are not going to be any of those kinds of signs to precede the judgment of the end of the earth. It is just going to be these signs that happen at the time when Jesus returns, or maybe just immediately before, because these things about the sun and moon and stars and the sea and the waves roaring, so there's going to be massive tidal waves, I guess, probably somewhat like is depicted in some disastrous movies where they have 100 feet or maybe more, maybe 1,000 feet tidal waves that come over. I could envision that it may be very likely the kind of thing that may happen right at Jesus' return, or maybe just preceding his return. Because then Jesus says, when you see these things, from verses 25 and 27, the Son of Man, he says, look up. This is to the righteous. Look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Okay. Now we'll go to verses 34. But take heed to yourself, lest your heart be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day of judgment comes upon you unexpectedly. Because there's not going to be any warning signs of any sort like there was with the destruction of Jerusalem. So, then we take into account what Peter said, and what Jesus had also said previously that we've covered in the last couple of weeks, that there is going to be a long time frame between the destruction of Jerusalem to the destruction of the earth. And people will obviously start to scoff and say, it's been so long, that must mean that God is not going to keep his promise, and the Messiah will not return in judgment to destroy the earth. And that is a false line of thinking. And so the warning is to Christians, and to everyone really, but specifically to Christians here, to not get distracted and by carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, or that day will come upon us unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Okay. So, that is this this chapter, and this is the last of the three accounts that are given to us. We've already covered previously Matthew and Mark's account, and this is Luke's account of Jesus talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the earth. John does not give us an account, so that we got three accounts of this, not the fourth one. So we will end there, and after we sing, I'll plan to read Kaufman's commentary on these five verses.